Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, in these last three talks of mine, we've been looking at faith, hope, and love. And I nicked the sign from above the door just to remind you of this. So I hope that as you walk through the door in future, you will remember these important things: faith, hope, and today we're looking at love. We've looked at faith, God's faith in us. He loves us so much. And then our faith in him as we respond to his faith. We walk in faith. We take risks in faith. We trust him as our Savior and as our Lord. He is the inspiration and the guide for us each and every day, each moment in our lives. So we looked at faith. And then we looked at hope and how Peter speaks of a birth into a living hope, a sure and certain hope of heaven to come, of paradise. And that sure hope shines its light back into our day-to-day journey. We live in hope. We have a living hope in our journey. So even when we go into times of darkness, we know that God holds us and will reveal his amazing love for us today and in the future in heaven. And then today we have love, the greatest of the three, says Paul. The love that searches us out and then moves our hearts to beat as his heart, so that we are sent out to the world ourselves to love and to pour out our lives. And in this reading that we have from Luke, we have this picture of the shepherd going out onto the hillside. And the picture of God as shepherd is, of course, an Old Testament picture. Ezekiel 34, verse 11 and 12 says this: "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered." But real life shepherds in Jesus' day, they worked odd hours in the countryside with the sheep. They probably didn't smell too good. They were considered unreliable scoundrels, probably crooked. Being in the fields, they were not really able to be involved in the temple worship or observe many religious laws, so they were on the edge of things, really. And so the Pharisees despised them. No one wanted their daughter to marry a shepherd. That would be a nightmare. And they certainly weren't the sort of people that the Pharisees would mix with. They were near the edge of society. Not far from the outcasts and the tax collectors that the Pharisees accused Jesus of eating with just before he told this story. I wonder if that's why Jesus reminds the Pharisees of the Old Testament picture of God as shepherd. It's a bit shocking, really, God as shepherd. And in Jesus' story, there are 99 presumably woolly, washed, happy, comfortable sheep in the meadow, gambling away. So who do they represent? What do you think? The church? Some people think maybe they do represent the church. I don't think so, because it says in verse 7, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Well, I don't know about you, but I often have to repent, probably too often, really. We need to repent, don't we? We are forgiven, but we are sinners nonetheless. So who thinks that they don't need to repent? Well, that's the Pharisees, isn't it, to whom this parable was shared. They think they are righteous people. And so the Pharisees are left in the valley, and Jesus goes off to search for the lost sheep. So where's the church in this parable? Where are we in the parable? Well, every single one of us, if you're a Christian today, is a lost sheep who has been found, and there has been a joy in heaven as a result of that. You know, increasingly in our society, the church is being marginalized. We don't hold the place of respect that we used to. People mistrust us and our message. And sometimes, to be honest, that's been our fault, hasn't it? But the church in history has been most effective when it has been on the margins, when it has laid down hopes of authority and status and respect and become vulnerable, reaching out to the needy, as the shepherd was when he went out on the hillside. When we're vulnerable, we can reach the vulnerable. And when we do that, we are in good company, because Jesus reached the marginalized, the tax collectors and the sinners gathered round to hear Jesus teach. He ate with them and he loved them. And the good shepherd, of course, was rejected and despised and taken to the margins of the city and taken outside the wall and nailed to a cross, crucified. The ultimate shame. That is love. That is love. And we, each of us, have known that love, that Jesus has died for us, that he was rejected and despised for you and for me. We carry that love in our hearts. We respond to that love by ourselves being shepherds who go out to a needy world. We reach out to our parish and to our city. And you know, that has been a mark of St. Francis over the decades. A church where the vulnerable can come. A church that reaches out in all the different ministries that we've seen over the years. We take Jesus with us. We take his love with us to the places where we spend our days. That's the focus of St. Francis. And I pray as you go on in faith and in hope and in love that that will be your focus. Not to stay comfortable in here, but to be out on the hillside seeking the lost. So we walk in faith. We live in hope. We act in love towards those around us and towards our broken world. That's what you're here for. That's why God placed you in this church and in this parish, to give your life for others. And that's what we've sought to do over our years together. And you've been so special to me and to Lynn over the years. You've been our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. You've been so special to us, and we've appreciated so much your love. Your brief to me when I first came here 16 years ago was really to bring in families. And you were willing to move this service in order that we could pursue the 11 o'clock service. You've backed me in the renewal of our buildings. You've been so gracious, so supportive, so sacrificial in your prayer and in your giving and in your love. I thank you for that. And you know, God has been honored by you in these years and by what you have done. You've been so gracious, so supportive. You know, Lynn and I have had our dreams, and we've had our failings and our weaknesses, particularly me. Lynn doesn't have any failings, but I have loads. I have loads. And you have forgiven us, and I know you will forgive us today if there's anything else that we need to be forgiven for. And you've gone with us beyond your comfort zones, and we've gone beyond our comfort zones, too, to reach lost sheep. And we've seen young people and children and people in the prime of life and people over 50 coming to join our church and to discover God here in this place. But now, of course, our time is done. And a new vicar will come. And it's more change. And I know you've had a lot of change since I've been here. So that's it's going to be hard. It will be hard. It'll be hard for us. It'll be hard for you. And they will be different. They won't be Paul. Of course not. It's a new season with new things to come that God is going to do. They may be young or they may be older like me. They may be single or they may be married. They may be a man or they may be a woman. They may be with children or they may be without children. But they will be God's person for a new season. And as you have loved us, I call you to love them. They'll be different, but the God that you worship will be the same. And, you know, the love that you have given us has been a great gift, and that will be a great gift for the vicar that is to come. Love them. Love them. Love them. That is the most important thing. So remember, faith, hope, and love. When things are good, when things are difficult, that's what we hold on to. That's how we travel. This will be on the wall above the door, so don't forget. Whoops, wrecking the place. Don't forget. And Lynn and I have got a little gift for you, which is a framed version of Wyam's Malevra, Mr. Malevra's prayer. And this prayer I found in the archive when we first, quite early on, really, in our time here. And it's a vision that he had for the church. It was prayed at the very first service of this church in the hut up the road when he was planting the church. And it was his vision, it's been my vision, it's been your vision, because it's God's vision, I believe. And so I'm going to finish my talk today by just praying this prayer with you and for you, really. So let's pray together. We pray thee to so fill this house with thy pure spirit, that all who enter here may be touched thereby. Here may the strong renew their strength and seek for their working lives a noble consecration. Here may the poor find succor and the friendless friendship. Here may the tempted find power, the sorrowful find comfort, and the bereaved find the truth that death hath over their beloved no more dominion. Here let the fearing find new courage, and the doubting have their faith and hope confirmed. Here let the careless be awakened, and all that who are oppressed be freed. O thou who makest the morning and the midday and the evening of life, hither let children come, and old folk as thy children to praise thee. Hither each age in turn may be drawn by thy love, and go hence with their doubts resolved, their fears at rest, their courage high, their purpose firm, their sins dispelled, and their hearts aflame. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.